Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hey friends, how are you? Welcome. This is Danny Morrell with episode number 14 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I am your host, Danny Morrell, as always. Today we've got a special guest that I think is really going to help you to get past specifically two key issues that you may be dealing with in your business that I think this guy has absolutely mastered. Please help me welcome Mr. Juan Aguirre to the show. Say hello, Juan.
Hello, hello. Hi, how's everybody doing out there? I'm a little nervous, excited, but just want to say hello and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, man, we're excited to have you, Juan. So listen, nothing to be nervous about. The guests obviously don't bite because they right. can't see you or touch you or feel you.
Right.
We're just going to have a conversation. And more than anything, man, it's all about trying to contribute to their lives
okay. And
trying to give back. So let's start off with a couple of basic questions. Okay,
sure. Juan?
So how long in the business for you?
Going on, 13 years. I've been on 13 years now.
That's a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, fantastic. And you and I met, how long? What, three?
Three years ago.
Going on 4 years. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. You've been putting up with me for a long time, Juan.
Quite a bit, you know.
That takes a lot of patience, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people don't know this, but I'm just going to get like right into the meat and potatoes of it.
Okay, go for it.
I remember when we first came into contact, issue number one that we started to like address right away.
Yep, I remember.
Right? It was that like your files... Yeah. Or like your baby, right?
Yeah,
We used to caress the files. Yeah. I remember walking by your office and seeing files everywhere, right?
Yep.
So we're going to get into that. But just to give everyone an example of a timeline of what's happened in the last 4 years or so,
right.
Give me units closed like that year, the next year, the following year, and this year.
Okay. So pretty much the first year when I first came to Intero, I was in between 2024. So maybe let's call it 22.
Okay.
And then I jumped up and I believe I went up to the following year, I went up to about 30.
Okay.
And then pretty much last year I was at 39.
Okay.
I won't say 40 because it ended up rolling till January of the new year. So let's say 39.
Okay.
And then year to date right now, we are at 21, 22 closed.
Massive. It's been massive.
Yes, for the first quarter.
Which, by the way, I want everybody to just visually pay attention to the fact that it was nice, slow, and steady growth, and then all of a sudden this massive jump to the point that Juan has actually closed $7 million in closed volume, literally just January, February, March of 2016.
Yep.
Which is like freaking extraordinary, everybody. Okay? So now that you see both who we're speaking to and the type of growth that he's had. Now I want to go back to issue number one when we first met, because I think it's an issue that some of you may be dealing with. And let me explain it this way. In the real estate sales process, in the flow of you meeting your client, you opening an escrow and you closing an escrow, there's the transaction, there's the file, right?
Yep.
And I believe that we as salespeople can focus on two things and two things only: income generating activities and income servicing activities. And if you're listening, you might want to write that down. Income generating activities, it's stuff that brings in the income. Income servicing activities, it's stuff that is servicing the income that has come in. So Juan, take me back. I know it's been a long time, but how important was it for you back then, and how big of a focus did you have on income servicing activities?
Servicing?
Right, like the files.
And yeah, it was pretty much, I mean, it was high, extremely high. I mean, my biggest thing was no one knew how to service or do the job like me. I think that was, it wasn't a downfall at the time. Yes, in order to jump up to the next level, it is. Mm-hmm. But I can say that obviously in doing that, it really helped me learn all of pretty much when it comes to our job, which is contracts, forms, everything like that. So when it came to those forms, it helped me do that. But it did prevent me from pretty much moving forward to the next level of generating more business. Yes.
So what I hear you saying, Juan, is that there was definitely a pro.
Yes.
And the pro was that you got better at the contracts, you got better at the files, you got better. But the con was, right, that if you ever really wanted to step up your game and to increase your level of production, you just can't focus too much energy on that. Is that correct?
100% correct. Yes.
So now let's talk about the underlying reason why you were doing that, right? And let's talk about the mindset behind it, because I think that for our listeners, if they hear where you're coming from or where you were coming from, maybe that might help them to understand, oh, hey, wait a minute, I'm kind of doing that as well. You know what I'm saying? Right. So talk to me about that.
Pretty much why I was doing it. Well, the one thing, one of the biggest reasons that I was doing it, and when I first joined the business, I was pretty much the way I was taught was if something, you know, if your transaction falls apart, you're no one to blame other than yourself.
Okay.
So I felt that I had to pretty much hoard, or, you know, the files and be the one that's always on top of it, always my hands in on the file so it didn't fall apart. Mm-hmm. Also, I think just pretty much at that time, we were coming out of pretty much a really rough economy change. That in a way, I guess that fear, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
you know, fear of losing one deal was big,
right?
You know, so I think that had a lot to do with it as well. But then, you know, once you get over that fear and you kind of just, you know, mindset does change,
right?
Then you're able to go ahead and move forward away from, you know, the small little tedious work that you're that's keeping you from generating a lot more and more in business.
So, and you know, I love that you just brought this up, Juan. Because, you know, in the past couple of shows, we've had, I don't know if you know, some amazing women on the show that are just, I mean, Apple Coreal, you know, I think 17 listings year to date, Brianna Gap, so forth and so on. We've got a guest named Brianna Llewellyn from a different part of the country that's going to be on pretty shortly. But one of the topics that keeps coming up is fear.
Right.
And you do have to be mindful of whatever it is that you're afraid of.
Right.
Yet at some point in time, you've got to realize that fear is holding you back, right?
Oh, yeah.
What was the process for you in learning how to get past that?
Well, one was honestly, you know, the times you and I used to speak and you know, you'd pass by my office and I remember you taking a picture of my files and just kind of going, hey, man, you know, you need to just let go of it.
Right.
And kind of just trust that it's all going to work out in reality, you know, and, you know, faith, blind faith in the sense.
Right.
So how did I get past it? I think it's just a matter of a decision that you ultimately make. I mean, you kind of have to say enough is enough. You move forward and then just keep on moving.
Absolutely.
I think I just got to that point to where I did want to become, well, at that time was a different, you know, goal. You know, so I wanted to become, you know, a 30, 35 producing agent, you know, transactions a year agent.
Right.
So I think I just said, hey, you know what, I need to go ahead and do this. And if I'm being told that this is what's holding me back, and I could see it, obviously, I could see it. And at that point, I just kind of said, okay, well, hey, you got to do it.
Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Awesome. And so what was your first step? Did you start handing the files to a transaction coordinator?
Yeah, that was the first step. I ended up I think at that time, I want to say I had 7 or 8 that were in escrow. So for me to let that go, I pretty much started using one of the in-house TCs at that moment.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And so now that obviously, and that decision, it's obvious your production slowly started to go up.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger question is, you know, when you were doing that 22, how long were you at that 22 number 4?
For a long time, man.
The bingo.
I was, you know, I pretty much, you know, my kind of the saying was 25. I was 24, 25.
I remember we used to talk about this.
Yeah, no matter what. I could sit back, relax, just kind of really not do much, and I would generate anywhere from 24 to 25 transactions a year. I mean, that was just kind of my motto. That, you know, and earlier in my career, that was one of my goals.
Uh-huh.
Was to say, okay, how many transactions do I need to be okay to make a six-figure income and be all right? Mm-hmm. And it was 20 to 25.
Right.
And I think I just I wasn't surrounded by certain people that was pushing me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I stayed there that long.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would say probably 10 years.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Hold on. Okay, look, people, you see, this is why I love these conversations, because some of you are listening to this conversation right now. And, you know, I call it, I give it the name of flatlining.
Yep.
Like, you know, if you see like a pulse and then all of a sudden it just goes, doo, right? And that's what a lot of real estate agents do. And I know why, but I think there's a couple of different reasons why. It could be conformity, and conformity typically comes from your environment, the people you're surrounded with, the things that you desire in life, the goals that you have in life, how big you're thinking, how small you're thinking, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, some of you right now are in that same 10-year phase that Juan was in, or that he's talking about right now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, guys, in the richest country in the world with the most possibility possible in one of the greatest industries known to man, just being stuck,
right?
And the reality is, Juan, you're a big thinking individual. I don't even think you realized that you were stuck, or did you?
No, I mean, I at the time I didn't, because once again, you know, my upbringings, I didn't come from a rich family. I didn't come, you know, I came from my parents both working very, very hard for minimum wage, pretty much, you know. Yeah. So where my family's combined income was maybe $50,000. So to me, and not only that, but friends, and I'm not talking about my current friends, but my friends growing up, mm-hmm. You know, they were okay with making, you know, a very small, you know, $15 an hour was like, oh my goodness, you know, that we made it, right. You know, type of thing. You
That's,
know,
I remember Stater Brothers was the job yeah, in high school, exactly. Right?
You that was one of my jobs.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, I worked at Stater Brothers. Yeah, that was my first job ever.
That's
so,
awesome.
So, you know, I think what happened was in my head, mm-hmm. I had made it by doing, you know, generating 20 to 25 transactions. So to me, I was like, hey man, I've made it above and beyond than my surrounding.
The norm.
That exactly. And then I come around and I start hanging out with, you know, different type of people that have been in the business a lot longer, to where making $150,000 is mediocre.
Yeah.
It's just, that is the low, right. You know, and then you're hanging out with people that are making $500,000 to $1 million to, you know, a couple million a year. And you kind of just go, wait a minute. This guy's no different than I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. Juan, you know, one of the things I love about these conversations is that, you know, just by asking the right questions,
right,
stuff comes up.
Yes.
And I wasn't even planning on speaking about this, but you're the perfect guy to speak about this because you just mentioned it, right?
Right.
I believe, as a society, have a thermometer for everything we do.
Right.
And what I mean by a thermometer is, like, you don't ever let yourself get too cold, and you don't ever let yourself get too warm or too hot based off of what you think is normal.
Right.
In this particular instance, when it comes to income,
right,
you had already reached a level that was considered, quote unquote, too hot subconsciously, right, in your
right
mind.
Right.
And then you started to just kind of maintain there because you didn't want to get away from the rest of the people that you,
right.
Does this make sense?
100% makes sense.
And so if you had any advice for someone that is stuck right now, that doesn't even realize that this is happening to them strictly because of their environment and strictly because of the people that they're around, which, you know, God bless them, we love everybody, you know what
right
I'm saying? But you, when you want to be great, you kind of have to step up your...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Give me your thoughts, man. Thoughts on that, I mean,
there's some advice that you can give them, I guess.
Advice, honestly, is you... And I was taught this at a very, not younger, but younger in my career when I first started, because I first started in the lending business. So I was surrounded by older guys. You know, my nickname to them was Kid, because I was 21 years old in this business and everybody else was 40, 45, you know, doing well. And so they always told me, you become who you surround yourself with.
Right.
And as much as you don't want to believe it, you truthfully do. I mean, which is why, you know, in growing, you know, from 20 to 25, I wasn't the same person from, you know, 25 to 30.
Right.
You know, and at some times you got to make a decision of, and I mean, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings out there or anything. You know, at times you have to make a decision as far as what people you need to let go.
Right.
In your life that are necessarily holding you back. And it's not because they're a bad person. It's just they are not on the level or they're not on the mindset that you are.
So this is a I think, a great question. So I'm going to ask it this way. What if people don't even know that they're being surrounded by people that are quote unquote whole? Because obviously you didn't know.
Right.
You weren't open to that just yet, right?
Yeah.
So how can people determine, right? Or give them one or two steps that they could determine where they can look at their life and go, you know what? I've got to make some changes here if I ever want to get to there, right? In other words, how do I identify who I need to be around in order to grow myself?
Well, ultimately, it comes down to your personal goal. I mean, that's going to be the first one. The first one is going to be your ultimate goal and deciding and becoming in tune with that goal. And at that point, then the second step is making the decision of figuring out who pretty much brings value in the sense to your life as a friendship, as a mentor, as anything.
Brings the best out in you, basically.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and at that point, those are the people that you need to grasp on. And then the rest, you know, our circle of friends is very small. I don't care who you are, your circle of friends are small. And start there.
Yeah.
Start with the friends, and then from there, start moving with the colleagues to work. Yeah. And then the next step is ultimately, you know, surrounding yourself with the people that you could feed off of and that you're going to learn something from. Not saying, obviously, you have to find new friends. I mean, it's just surround yourself. If you want to become a millionaire, you got to surround yourself with the millionaires. I mean, that's just at the end of the day.
Of course,
it's baby steps, like, you know, like myself. I didn't go from what I currently am,
right,
you know, overnight. I didn't.
Right. Like
you know, it took years. It took a few years. And then also the mindset. I mean, ultimately, the reason that I'm in where we're at right now in this quarter, you know, 21, 22 transactions closed, 7 million. It's because I mentally made a decision to go ahead and just say, you know what? F it. I'm going for this huge goal. I don't care what anybody tells me. I talked to a few people and they said, man, you're crazy. Start smaller.
Mm.
Nope, this is my goal and you just got to go for it.
Well, it's funny because I remember you at this desk when we had the conversation and when you said, okay, man, I want to do it. I grabbed out the pen and I started kind of drawing it out and, you know, and I think that's the beauty of this, right?
Yeah.
Is I think what you're trying to say is that you got to have someone in your life that can help impart the vision and help support your vision, no matter how scary it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how big it is. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So now let's get into the second part. And this is what I think really makes you very unique, Juan. And that's that you're pretty smart about being efficient at what you do. And what I mean by that is that I think that there's three basic ways to go out and get business. Number one is to like prospect and go out and get on the phones and make phone calls and meet strangers.
Like a Brianna Gap.
And she's a freaking animal.
Machine,
like that, right?
Yes.
A machine, right? The second one is to go out and buy it.
Right.
To go out and market and invest your money and leverage your capital and market yourself and your brand.
Yep.
And then the third one is what I think creates the most long-term success is what you do with the clients that you get from the first one and the second one.
Yep.
And I've been trying to beat this in people's head forever.
Yeah.
Is that you have to build a database.
Yeah.
You have to go out and eventually build relationships with the people that you 100%. Sell homes to.
Yep.
When the escrow closes, it's not the end. That's the beginning of everything, right? And I think that you have absolutely mastered that. So question becomes, 2 years ago, what percentage of your overall business came from your database?
85 to 90%.
Okay, 85 to 90%.
Yes.
Which when you're closing 30 deals, if you're basically telling me that year after year, you could count on 25 to 30 deals coming in because you put on the work on the front end to work your database, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, now how about this year?
This year is a little bit different. It's kind of not evening out, but we're still talking about, you know, as far as referrals in my database, 60%.
Okay.
The rest is, you know, it comes from prospecting, from signed calls, from, you know, just pretty much any type of little small marketing that we do end up doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like a 60-40 right now.
Okay. And I remember we did speak about the fact that, like, in order for you to grow, that number had to come down a little bit more, right? Yeah. And I think that that number was so high 2 years ago because you were in your comfort zone.
Right. I was in that 25 zone.
You were in that 25 zone, yeah. Right? You were good to go, 25, yeah. No matter what.
Yep.
So let's get into the nitty gritty.
Okay.
I am your client.
Yes.
I close a transaction with you.
Okay.
Give me, like, don't give me your whole secret formula, right? But you know what? Can I tell you the truth?
It's not. There's no secret.
Yeah, I was about to say. Even if you did, Juan, people in our industry just have a hard time with this.
Yeah, yeah.
People have a hard time with building relationships.
Yep.
People want to go, you know, make the little hustle,
yeah.
Sell the house, and then and go done. Find another one.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you know this, Juan, but I know a gentleman who actually sold his database. Here's a goal for you.
Okay.
For $1 million.
Really?
Yes. He lives in Canada. He sold his database for $1 million, right? And then parlayed that into going out. Now all he does is build condo developments, so forth and so on.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Step number one, what do you do? You close a deal with me.
It's very easy, man. And, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, and like you said, you're 100% correct that people in our industry have a very, very, very extremely hard time on just continuing that relationship. You know, the minute that I either hand keys to my buyer or congratulate my seller on a successful close, I let them know, hey, first thing, this isn't the end of you and I. You and I most likely will speak again. You might call me in regards to when it comes to tax season, you know, you might have lost your closing statement. Just let me know whatever you need at that point. Give me a call.
That literally just happened right now.
Yeah.
As we were preparing for the show.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right? Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay,
and
good.
And secondly, pretty much I'm going to do a follow-up. Actually, not even a call. I end up stopping by your new house or where you ended up moving to. Stop by with a small little gift. And it's something very, very depending on the person, you know, their personal interest or whatever it is. And I personally drop it off. I go and I say, knock on the door or let them know I'm coming by, mm-hmm. and I'm welcomed in. You know, it's just because at that point, you're still so fresh in their mind and their head and their memory,
right.
That of course they, especially if the transaction went extremely well, they just welcome you in.
Right.
And at that point, it's no longer business. And that's what a lot of people tend to forget. A lot of agents, you know, they close a deal. All they care about is the commission check.
Goodbye.
And they're out.
Yeah.
I really focus on building a friendship, a truthful friendship, because at the end of the day, I'm here to pretty much sell a person the American dream.
Right.
Which is a home.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's one of the biggest investments. So you have to treat it like one of the biggest investments for them. And as if you care.
Right.
Ultimately,
there's
you
a
have
thought,
to care.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, because if you're only chasing, you know, that commission check, I mean, you're never going to care for the person on a personal level. So I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
Last night.
Okay.
So last night, one of my clients, we sold, closed their property 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Or maybe a month ago. He was away in Hawaii. He comes back. He gives me a call. He lets me know, hey, you know what? I'm back in town. I said, perfect. You know what? Have the small little gift. I'm glad you're back in town. When can I stop by? Well, you know what? How about tomorrow? This was Monday for yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, perfect. I'll go ahead and stop by, you know, and bring a little gift. But wait a minute, actually, you know what? What I do want to speak to you about is selling one of my other properties.
Oh, I love it.
I had no intention speaking business. I'm going there strictly to pretty much talk to him and congratulate him and say thank you.
Right.
So I get there. First thing, of course, you know, we start talking. I walk in, he's giving me a tour of his house, which is one he wants to sell. But he goes, you know what? This is not business. I just want to go ahead and chat with you.
Yeah.
Pours me a glass of wine. So now it's a personal thing. Now I'm building that huge relationship. We get to talking, we start, you know, conversating, you know, have a couple glasses of wine. Then we talk about, because he brings it up, we talk about business. And now we're talking about selling his house up here in Upland, which is going to happen next week. We're going to be listing that property.
I love it.
It's crazy to me on how many people truthfully just don't even do a follow-up call afterwards.
Can I tell you the percentage?
What is it?
I'm going to put it at like 92%.
That's crazy.
I'm going to put it at that high. I'm going to put it at 92% of the, you see, Juan, what happens is that my belief is that, listen, people don't think like this, but we have a lot of time during the day.
Right.
We really, really do.
Yep.
But you need to learn to calm your mind and focus on the key activities that you need to be accomplishing.
Right.
The problem with salespeople, correct me if I'm wrong in your perspective, is that they're so focused on going out and getting the next deal, they don't even set aside time, or they don't find value, or they don't find promise. It's just, for crying out loud, just relaxing, going and stopping by, and you do it right, because I follow you on Facebook, which, by the way, everybody, we're going to show you how to connect with Juan a little bit later. You sometimes a bottle of Dom Perignon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, now, depending on the person's likes, you know.
I don't want to get you in trouble with anybody.
No, like, it's okay.
Like a, you know, a sandwich.
No. Everybody gets something, and it's tailored to their specific, you know, likes or hobbies or whatever it is. You know, not everybody likes to drink. Some people just like, you know, going to a nice restaurant or whatever the case might be. Yeah.
And that's a small investment of a couple of $100, whatever. Small.
It's barely, if anything, not even a 1% of your commission.
Not even that. But here's the other thing, people. Please listen to this key factor. I pride myself in that. I mean, take this podcast, for example.
Right.
None of you listeners are paying me to do this. Nothing. And there's no inkling of anything in it for me. This is value. Right. This is what I love to do. I treat my company the same way. I can't sleep at night thinking about how I can bring value to our agents.
Yeah.
What new idea, doesn't mean that it's perfect, but I'm always trying to progress the value that we bring.
Right.
What Juan just told you guys, everybody, and this was the key to the whole thing, he is not thinking about a sale. He's not thinking about another listing. He's only thinking about building a relationship and a friendship with these people. And as a result of that energy, as a result of that trust that they can feel, guess what happens? The floodgates just open.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
100%. And then the next step, so to backtrack a little bit to the steps, I always send, and you know, once again, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's just you have to apply these items to pretty much your prospecting. And that was the one thing, actually, you and I, when we spoke a while back, and because I wasn't big on prospecting, I was not big on jumping on the phones and everything. Now I am. I'm a lot more, obviously, than I was 3 years ago. But you had said something, well, in reality, you're prospecting.
Right.
You're prospecting to your database. And I'm going, you know, I'm sitting here going, well, damn, you're right.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not prospecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just keeping in touch, building a relationship, you know, letting them know that I care, and that's it.
Yeah.
So the next step, I always send pretty much holiday cards. I handwrite them.
Okay.
That's my thing. I actually handwrite anywhere from 200 to 300 holiday cards every year.
Awesome.
I hate it. Don't get me wrong. I don't like it, but it's I want to be, you know, personal on a personal level. I want to show them that I still remember, you know, our transaction, our relationship, or, you know, their kids or whatever the case might be. I want to let them know that I personally know, you know, them.
Right.
And then pretty much just a simple text. I mean, you know, which we've talked about this before.
Absolutely.
Quarterly, I send a text. Pretty much
every quarter.
Every quarter.
Awesome.
And it's very simple. Just
and Juan, tell me this. What percentage of the time do you, when a transaction closes, give them a call and stop by with a little gift?
Almost 100%.
Yeah, I knew that was gonna like stun you. Like you'd look at me like, "What are you talking about?" That's just
I don't. You know, it's just the norm to me.
Right.
So. But yeah, I mean, almost 100%.
Now, I know you on a personal level.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of this has to do with your like mental makeup.
Right.
Right. I think that, like, for example, if you were to coach me in this, as a matter of fact, you have said, hey, bro, why don't you try this? Right. And right. With the ages and with what I'm doing, so forth and so on. I think that on one end of the spectrum, there's the personality that's listening to us that is just go, 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 yeah. go, go. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's a personality that is like loving and caring and friendship and all that stuff. Right. And I think you're somewhere like in the middle.
In the middle.
Like,
yeah.
Like in a very healthy way.
Yeah.
If there was a listener out there that said, oh my gosh, like I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And I haven't been doing this for the last 10 years. And then they're imagining where they would be today if they would have been doing it for the last 10 years. Give them some advice. How would you start?
Keep not doing it, because there's agents like me that will do it and get your business. Okay, I'm kidding. No, honestly.
That was right? Okay, good.
So go back to the question.
So if you were to give them some advice.
Right.
On how they could start implementing this. Maybe even, because this is a big one. People will hear this and go, okay, I'm going to start. But I'm afraid. I haven't talked to them in so long, yeah. Right? How would you start?
The first step, yeah. As easy as sending a text to everybody in your contacts.
As simple as that.
Simple as that. And it's very simple. Apologize for not speaking to them in X amount of years or months or whatever. Just reach out to them and say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about you. Just wondering how everything's going with the home, or whatever. Just something, make it personal. At the same time, you're asking maybe potentially about their house, and you'd be amazed how many people just respond just like that. I mean, because I know with Mike Ferry, he says make a phone call, which of course, if you're better on the phones, make the phone call. But a text to me is a lot easier. It's an easier way to break that ice for the person who has not done it.
Right.
Or that hasn't, stayed in contact with those people. It's just very easy. And if you don't get a response, then, no big deal. Keep on moving.
Yeah.
And
also, Juan, it's the way that people like to communicate nowadays.
Yep. 100%. Yes.
Okay. So something as simple as that. And what if someone says, what kind of a gift should I do? I don't think that's the point, right?
No. It's not. I mean, honestly, I've bought in. I've bought the smallest things. I mean, for example, let's say one of my clients' daughters play softball. It's a softball, to just say, hey,
simple as that.
It's the craziest thing.
Wow.
People go, wait a minute, you listened and you actually care about my personal being, versus just a check or a commission or a transaction or, a unit moved. I mean,
awesome.
It's the smallest thing. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything high end. A lot of people just tend, they just want to feel that you personally care about them. That's it.
Awesome. I love it. So couple of things. If you were to leave everybody with, because I think we're running out of time here. Okay. If you were to leave everybody with one bit of advice, Juan, first and foremost, you're on track to close 70 deals this year. Is that correct?
Our track is to be at 85. It's 100. The goal is 100. We're on track to be at in between 80, 85.
I mean, Juan, that is like,
yeah,
I almost said a bad word, but that's, I love that. Yeah. Right. I love that. Right. Yeah. And I love the fact that just a couple of years ago, you were like in the, 25. Right.
Yeah.
So, one bit of advice for anybody that's stuck and wants to do better, what would it be?
Stop looking at a transaction and as money. Look at it as a unit, in the sense of just saying, put one on the board. The one shouldn't even be money. You should get a numerous amount of checks on the board, meaning not actual money checks, but checks on the board. And the money will just come. Right. And stop worrying about focusing on the money, because people can see that.
They could smell that.
And smell that. And the minute that you actually just become more of a professional and truly want to help people either buy or sell real estate, then everything just tends to come and flows. I mean, that's my one bit of advice. I tell my team, I tell my guys right here, I always tell them that, stop worrying about the money. Yep. Focus on helping people and money will come.
And Juan, that's sometimes tough to do if yep. money is an issue, right?
Yep.
But correct me if I'm wrong, you simply have to make a decision
yep.
that you're going to live in faith.
Yep.
And that if you go out and truly, right, like just go help the right people
yeah.
and help them in the right way, everything else will take care of itself. Yep. Is that correct?
100%, yes.
Awesome, awesome.
Set a goal, though. I mean, set a goal and make sure you take the proper steps and, you know, really understand that it's a process and it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, you know, everybody talks about the 90-day rule. I mean, 90 days, right. you know, in order to see any type of return.
Right.
At times it takes longer. At times, you know, it takes, you know, 6 months in order for you to really see that return that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So time, patience, set a goal, and really, you know, tackle it and, you know, stop giving yourself that BS story that you know, you don't deserve it or you can't do it or, you know, just get up, wake up every single day, you know, and work hard.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And the last and final thing, and I'm going to end it with this one, is that, you know, one of my missions in life is to beat you at golf.
I hear you've been practicing.
My drives are just, they're just mashing straight right. down the fairway, right? So when are we going to play golf?
Let me know when, man.
How about honestly, Friday morning?
Hold on.
Check the schedule.
You check my schedule.
So look at this. I'm being coachable and I'm Isn't learning, it? Right? You see that?
Go. So Friday morning.
8 o'clock.
I'm free.
Red Hill?
Red Hill.
Are you going to give me my strokes?
Maybe. Hey, I hear you've gotten better.
It's
so here we go. All right.
I just have to not let you get under my skin.
And in your head.
In my head. Yes, exactly. That's right.
Let's
so,
do it.
So good. All right, Friday morning, 9 a.m. Red Hill Country Club.
Okay.
It's Masters Week. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Everybody, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen to me. I think this was a unique show because I think that every show up until today, like no one has talked about the power of what you can become and what you can achieve if you simply start building relationships with
yep.
people and if you simply start following up after the sale with people.
Yep.
So I challenge you, everybody. If you're going to prospect tomorrow, stop what you're doing. Prospect your database.
They know
prospect your family members, right? Prospect your friends. Prospect your past clients. And just reach out to them, right?
Yeah.
And have faith that by you just going out and being a friend, everything else will take care of itself, right? If
yep.
you haven't, Juan, how do they get a hold of you? How do they find you on social media? All that good stuff.
You know what? I don't even know my whole, I know it's... you know, Facebook / John Aguirre.
Team or?
Yeah, no, it's the, you know what? I don't even know.
Okay.
Send me an email, johncaguirre@yahoo.com. I'll send you all my links and everything. Or you could give me simply a call at 951-662-8579.
And I'll do it even one better. If you go to the show notes for the show, I'll actually
yep.
put a link to Juan's team's Facebook page and all that good stuff.
Awesome.
Awesome. Episode number 14 is a wrap, my friends. I hope that you found a lot of value from this show. And more than ever, go out and, you know, be who you want to be, right? Be the vision that you have of yourself in the future. That's ultimately what happened to Juan.
Yep.
Juan didn't want to be the 25-year guy anymore. Juan wants to be the 100 dealer
100.
Guy. And that will cause you to go out and do the things that you need to do so that you can have what you really not only want in life, but what you deserve in life.
Yep.
Take care, everybody. Visit us, therealestatesalesshow.com. Pardon me, realestatesalesshow.com. And as always, we will talk to you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Right. See you guys later.